It's a blessing to be here tonight, and it's an honor to call Landmark Baptist Church my sending church, and we certainly appreciate you folks and all the things you've done through the years to help us stay on the field and the way you treat us when we come back. We appreciate that. We appreciate the way you've adopted my two boys and put them to work, amen? And everything that you've done to help out with the wedding and that's coming up, and just so many things, I can't name everything, but everybody has just been so good to us, and the Lord's been good to bring us here, and I couldn't think of a better place I'd rather have for my sending church. If you would, though, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I'm going to preach a little bit about the local church. In regards to missions especially, but not necessarily in a missionary context completely, but the importance of staying tied to your local church. What's so important about that? And let's look at this in chapter 13. We'll read verses 1 through 4. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed into Cyprus. Let's pray. Father, I ask you now to help me as I try to deliver this message. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and teach us. And Lord, may you be glorified, and may Jesus Christ be lifted up. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's become very popular today to despise the church. Recently, I guess within the last 5 years, a man named Dan Kimball wrote a book. He's an emergent church guru. And the title of his book is, "They Like Jesus, But Not the Church." Yeah. I've got a problem with that. The problems in this world are not with the church. The problems that we're seeing in Christianity today has nothing to do with the church. It has a lot to do with people who despise the church. These parachurch organizations and all these things that are operating outside the church or despising the church, they're not part of the solution, they're part of the problem. And so we have a problem today. They like Jesus, but they don't like the church. I wonder how that works. Somebody come up to me and said, "I like you, Brother Jim, but I don't care for your wife at all."
Yeah.
I'm going to have a hard time being friends with him.
Amen.
I'm not going to like him too much. "You know, Brother Jim, you're all right, but your wife is a real problem." Now, let me ask you something. What is the church? It's the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And when somebody comes bad-mouthing the church, and by the way, I'm not talking about the universal church, I'm talking about the local church.
Amen.
You folks that are members of Landmark Baptist Church, when somebody's bashing your church, you have an obligation to defend your church.
Amen.
Not to go along with them. Not to just say, "Yeah, I know, we got our problems." I have people come to me, and probably never a week passes in Romania that somebody doesn't come to my church or stop me on the street and try to get me to agree with them that the church has lots of problems. I got news for you. The church is pure and spotless and made white as snow by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is an important thing in our lives. Without the church, we couldn't serve properly, and I'll get to that in a few minutes. If you'll look, let's just do a little bit of exegesis. That sounds good, doesn't it? I know some big words, too. There's college students here. I wanted to impress them. And it probably isn't even exegesis, but it sounded good. But anyway, we're going to look at this. Now, look at this here. It says, now there were in the church. Now, it didn't stop there, did it? It went on. So we know this is talking about a local church. Amen. There were in the church that was at Antioch. Right. He didn't say there was in the universal, invisible, nebulous church that anybody that wants to be a member of is a member of. It said a specific church. It said a local church. I believe it was a Baptist church. Oh, Brother Jim, don't you think that there's probably some errors in the Baptist church? Nope. Don't you think there's some problems? Nope. There's some problem people in the Baptist church. Amen. I'm probably one of them. Has it ever occurred to you that God blesses us in spite of ourselves and not because of ourselves? That's why he put us in the church.
Yeah.
Now, you understand, we're Baptists, right? I thought I read that on the sign. That's why I picked this church in the first place. I got a problem with people that don't want to identify themselves.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I'm driving down the road, this is a rabbit trail. Let me chase it just for a minute, and I'll try to get back on track. Because I got limited time here. We got a wedding to plan for. Let me run this rabbit trail for a minute. I do a lot of driving all over the church place, and sometimes I am in transit between places on a Wednesday night, sometimes on a Sunday night, and I'm looking for some place to go to church. And I at least want to know what kind of church I'm walking into. I don't want to walk into church, some church that says the Church of the Lady of the Mind or something like that, because I don't know what's going to be in there. You probably don't really know for sure, even if it says Baptist, but you're going to get a little bit closer to the mark with that than anything else. I want to know what I'm walking into.
Amen.
Hey, I don't mind that the Pentecostals identify themselves, because I don't want to walk into one by accident.
Amen.
And it's good for us to identify ourselves. We know who we are. Let's just tell everybody else what we are.
Amen.
Well, Baptists have a bad name. Yeah, I know. We have a bad name because we stand for the truth.
Amen.
And people don't like people that know what they believe and why they believe it. That's a problem for people.
Yes.
Listen, we have a local church. You know what a local church is made up of? A local independent Baptist church, a proper church, is not made up of people that were baptized when they were babies.
Right.
So this is a Baptist church. What do we believe? Well, number one, we believe that the Bible is the only, not the final, it's the sole authority for all matters of faith and practice. But we also believed in a regenerated church membership.
Amen.
That means you can't become a member of our church until you've been saved.
Amen.
And little bitty babies, 8 days, 10 days after they're born, can't be baptized because they're not saved.
Yeah.
Whether it's by dipping or whether it's by sprinkling or whether it's by pouring, it doesn't save them. And even if their godparents say they're saved, it doesn't make them saved. You got to answer for yourself, not what somebody else says. So we're part of a local independent Baptist church. How? Because we got saved and then we got baptized. And we become part of the local church. Now here we have the church that is in Antioch. And then there's some people in the church, some leaders in the church. We've got Paul and we got Barnabas and we got Lucius and we got Manian and we got others that are working diligently in the church. Now move on to verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord. Who's they? These leaders in the church, right? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, who called them? The Holy Ghost. But who did the Holy Ghost tell? He told the church. He probably told Barnabas and Saul too, but he told the church. Listen, you young preachers here, listen to me. If God has called you to do something, the leaders in your church will also recognize that call.
Amen. Amen.
You understand something? Don't ever take this attitude. I don't care what the church says. God's called me. I'm going to go out and do what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's not right. Because if God has called you, God will let other people in the church know, the leadership in the church. I don't care what Brother Carter says, I'm going to go and do that anyway. You're getting into dangerous ground. Again, and let's follow it on through here a little bit. And it says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, who? The church, these leaders in the church, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This is called ordination. They have recognized the call of these two men. They have laid their hands on them, and they have sent them out. But it's very interesting. Read verse number 4. And they being sent forth by who? Wait a minute. I thought the church sent them out.
Yeah.
It was.
Amen.
It was the church, and it was the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They worked together.
Amen. That's right.
Now, remember something. John chapter 16. What does the Holy Ghost do? The Holy Ghost guides us into all truth. You take off out of this church, if you're a member of this church or your church, wherever you may be a member, and you defy the leadership of that church, and you say, I don't care what the church says, the Holy Ghost is telling me to do this, you have just stepped into dangerous ground. You are leaving the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit to go and do your own thing, and the Holy Spirit no longer is guiding you in all truth. And you'll go off into error almost every time. You'll be all messed up. Why is that? Because it's the Holy Spirit that guides. And the Holy Spirit uses the church to help us. Now, look if you would in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. He's talking to Timothy, which is the church of the living God, the pillar. Are you with me? What's the pillar and ground of the truth? The church. We have people going into error all the time. What's happened? They've left the umbrella, the protection. They've unloosed themselves from the pillar and ground of the truth. Get it right here. What's a pillar? That's something that's set into the ground. That's not some little piece of cane that blows every direction in the wind. That's something that's stable. That's something you can hook onto. That's something you can hold onto. That's something that'll keep you from drifting. As a missionary to Romania for 17 years, as a missionary sent out by this church for over 20 years, one thing that has kept me straight is my ties to this church. And as long as I have been able to respect and hold to this church, I always compare what I'm doing in Romania to what's going on right here at Landmark Baptist Church. And many a time the temptation has come to let down the standard a little bit, to maybe move a little bit, to change what I believe a little bit so I can get a little bit bigger crowd, so I can put a little bit more in my prayer litter. But then I say, what would Brother Carter think about that? What would the leadership at Landmark think about that if they heard that I was doing this? You see, whenever the hands were laid on me, whenever I stood down here in the front with my wife And all you folks came by, you that remember it, came by and shook my hand and said, "Lord bless you, Brother Jim, and you put your hands on me, and you put your approval on me, and you even took up an offering to help us get started and all these things." You know what you're saying? We have confidence in you that you will duplicate what this church stands for.
Amen.
You knew where I stand. You had examined me for those years that I worked out here in the bus lot, and I worked on the bus route, and I taught in a junior church, and I had a Sunday school class, and you watched me, and you seen me. And let me tell you this, some of you knew that I was going to Romania before I did. Brother Donnie, you knew. Are you with me here? The church is important. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. This is what stabilizes me as a missionary, and it's what will stabilize you. It'll keep you straight. I went all over the country raising money on the reputation of Landmark Baptist Church. Whenever I said where they were from, they said, "We don't have to worry about you. You got it all right. You're straight on the issues that we think are important." They knew where I stood because of the church that I was out of. And I have a very heavy responsibility as a missionary sent out by this church to represent exactly what this church represents. And I'm not saying that the church is above the Bible, but the church is what sent me out. And I wouldn't be a member of this church if I didn't think it was directly tied in with the Bible. Are you, listen, get with me on this, okay? I've got 15 more minutes. The church, it's the pillar. It's the ground of the truth. It's our stability. People are being blown about by every wind of doctrine. They don't know what they really believe. It would blow your mind what some missionaries are doing in Romania today that are out of good independent Baptist churches. But they've untied themselves from their local churches back home, and they go over there and they bring in the drum set because that brings in more people. And they bring in the rock music because that brings in more people. And they would never put that stuff in their slide presentations because they'd lose support right and left. Or they'll accept the baptism of people that aren't Baptists. Or they'll do whatever it takes to get the crowd in the church because it looks good. And they say, "Well, my pastor just doesn't understand what it's like over here." Can I say this? It's just the same as over here. People are people. Sinners are sinners. Compromisers are compromisers in Romania, and they're compromisers in America. "Oh, but Brother Jim, you got to respect their culture. If their culture's wrong, it needs to be changed." Amen.
Amen.
And I've been a missionary living in Romania for 17 years. I'm not going to let their culture dictate what the Bible says. Culture does not trump Bible. You say, "Well, Brother Jim, you know, isn't our basis for fellowship just the gospel?" No, we're Baptist.
Amen.
We're not just fundamentalist.
Yes.
I'm all for the five fundamentals, okay? I'm all for them. But that's basis. You're not Baptist because you believe the five fundamentals. We got seven distinctives that go along with those five fundamentals. Yeah, but big is better, Brother Jim. Not always. You know, I can make a choice. I can have limited fellowship or a limited message. What do I want? Do I want to limit my message so I can have a broader fellowship? Or do I want to have a complete message? Well, that's going to limit my fellowship. Billy Graham said, "I'll preach anywhere as long as they don't hinder me from preaching the gospel." And he did. He preached anywhere. He'd fill up huge stadiums. And listen to me, I praise the Lord for everybody that's saved in the Billy Graham crusade. Everybody that genuinely got saved in anybody's crusade, I'm glad of. But listen to me, When Jesus left the earth, he gave us a commission. He gave us three things to do, not just one.
Amen.
He said, preach the gospel. He said, when they get saved, you baptize them.
Amen.
And then after you baptize them, you teach them.
Amen.
Now, when I was a kid, my dad, his name was Gene Rush. He was kind of a hard country boy. A lot of times he'd give me something to do before he left to go to work. Now, if my dad gave me three things to do and came home in the afternoon and said, did you do those three things? No, but I did one of them really, really good. And I did it for my neighbor, too, and I did it for the guy down the street, and I did it for the people up the road here. Yeah, I did that one thing really good, Dad, and I did it for everybody else. He said, but I didn't tell you to do one thing. I told you to do three things. And back then, they used to give spankings. And I'd be feeling it for a while. He didn't give me one thing to do and do it for everybody. He said, do the three things I told you.
Yes.
We got three things to do, folks.
Yeah.
Billy Graham, had he gone to step number two and started preaching about baptizing, about three quarters of his crowd would have walked out the door. He wouldn't have got the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Congregationalists and the Catholics and the Orthodox and everybody else to come to his meetings. They'd have said, no way, you're going to preach about baptism, and we done been baptized.
Yeah.
No, we ain't going. And then if he'd have gone on to step number three and started teaching, you know, stuff like speaking in tongues ain't very good and you ought not to be doing that, well, there'd go the rest of his crowd.
Yeah.
And his fellowship would have got a lot more limited than it was. Now, we've got a lot of heroes in the faith. And I'm glad for the heroes. And you've probably heard this. My good friend Dalton Robertson, who's a historian about Baptist history, brought this story out some years back, but he talks about a man named Isaac McCoy who lived during the same time as D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody had over 1 million converts. Isaac McCoy had less than 150,000 converts. Isaac McCoy was a Baptist missionary. He planted churches all over the Midwest and out into Oklahoma and Nebraska and Kansas. D.L. Moody's converts all went back to the church that they never got saved in the first place.
Yeah.
These Presbyterian churches and these Congregationalist churches and these Methodist churches, they'd grown up in these churches and they went to hear D.L. Moody the first time they ever heard the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And got saved.
Dude.
Praise the Lord for the million that got saved, but they all went back to dead churches.
Yeah.
And they lost the next generation.
Yes.
Even D.L. Moody's kids didn't follow him in the work of the Lord.
Right.
But Isaac McCoy is a different story. Yeah, he only had 150,000 converts, but he started churches all over.
Amen.
And you know, there's churches all over the Midwest that were started by churches that were started by churches that were started by churches that were started by churches.
Amen.
The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. This is where we grow. This is where God calls us. This is where God sends us out. And what do? We're supposed to go out and duplicate this. Yeah, I know it's not as impressive as a stadium full of 60,000 people, but 100 people that are given to missions and are out soul winning goes a lot further and it lasts a lot longer.
Amen.
We're not to just win this generation. We're to win the next generation.
Amen.
And the next generation. And that only works in the church.
Amen.
The pillar and ground of the truth. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. Let me say this. We try to take our shortcuts. We try to make it easier. We try to help God out.
Yeah.
When all the time Paul taught us that they that strive for the masteries must strive lawfully.
Good.
We can't cheat at this race.
Yeah.
We can't cut corners. If we have a foot race and the guy cuts across the field and all the other guys stay on the track, he doesn't get a crown because he got to the finish line first.
Right.
And we're not going to get the crown if we shortcut the plan of God.
Yeah.
You say, but Brother Jim, Jesus is coming soon and we got to get to work. You know what? I'd rather be found on the racetrack in my lane running the right way than to be cheating whenever Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
Do it right.
Amen.
Why? Well, because it's not about you.
Amen.
It's not about your reputation.
Yeah. Right.
It's not about what people think about you.
Amen.
It's all about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look, if you would, Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him, who's that? Jesus Christ, unto him be glory, where? In the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.
Amen.
Amen. How do we glorify God? In the church.
Amen.
You want to lift up the Lord? You do it in the church by Christ Jesus, by spreading the gospel, by telling folks, but through the church. Not your own way. I'm going to help God out here a little bit. No, you're not going to help God out. You're going to mess it up every time. God gave us a plan. It's right here in the Bible. It's the church. It's the local body. It's a local assembly. It's the place that you're a member. It's a place where they have the programs that you can work through to get the job done.
Yes.
It's where you bring your converts after they get saved so they can run through this baptistry. And then so that they can sit under the teachers and learn and grow and then begin to go sowing. And maybe someday God will do like he did me and say, put his hand on him and say, this guy here, he's ready. He needs to go to Romania.
Amen.
Or to Hawaii. But God will do it through the church.
Amen.
Never despise the church.
Amen.
Never despise the church. Don't listen to the silly jokes about the church.
Yes.
Don't listen to the silly stereotypes that people have brought up about the church. Oh, the church is so corrupt. No, it's not.
Amen.
You know when the church gets corrupt? When the church is gone and all that's left is Laodicea.
Yeah.
You understand? But as long as there's still a spark of Philadelphia left, God's going to get glory in the church.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you'd bless and help us to bring glory to you through the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.